Let's see, one person, Shelby Wright.
So good morning, Senator Brenner, Representative Tucker, and members of the Environment and Natural Resources Committee. My name is Shelby Wright, and I'm the manager of engagement for Casella. I'm also a resident of Hamden, and I've been listening very intently this morning to the proponents and the opposition, the DEP, to this bill. And I mean, I am here actually to testify neither for nor against 1875. And I'm here as a problem solver and not a fault finder in hopes to offer a pathway forward that can help the state as a whole as it struggles to quantify and rectify the many challenges that PFAS presents to our environment. We stand with the sponsor and the DEP and other interested stakeholders to ensure that any approach to PFAS treatment is successful in the state. And as such, I just wanted to start with a couple of clarifications from testimony that we've heard this morning. So as you all know, the landfill does not generate PFAS. The materials that are delivered to the landfill do, and they are in the leachate. We are not arguing that point. Landfill leachate has PFAS. It is true. And LD 1600 has just established criteria by the DEP to test landfills throughout the state that manage leachate to determine the levels of PFAS that exist in untreated leachate. Our leachate is not released directly into the Penobscot River. It is treated at ND paper in an amount that makes up 1% of the total flow or effluent from that mill's discharge, 1%. Now, that is not belittling the fact that our leachate does contain PFAS, but it does bring light to the arguments that have been made today that there are also several other sources of PFAS that are escaping into our rivers and streams and drinking water and groundwater all over the state. We heard a very emotional testimony from Alan and Johanna from Unity. We heard some very interesting recommendations from Peter Blair earlier. And I would like to kind of take both of those and talk a little bit about what other states are doing and how we can be a leader in the PFAS remediation or treatment in Maine. So we heard Peter Blair talk a little bit about Vermont, and we heard Peter talk about what Casella is actually doing in Vermont. And it is true. The Vermont Agency of Natural Resources had a study conducted as a first step to determine potential PFAS sources and waste streams that were disposed at landfills. Now, this study, which some of you have been circulated, does have some very interesting findings in the way that landfills can successfully sequester certain types of PFAS. Landfills are very, very good at sequestering PFAS from carpets, textiles, couches, oversized bulky waste, and construction and demolition debris. The other types of PFAS that are commonly found in untreated MSW tend to be the types that we find in the leachate from a landfill. And going back and hearkening back to the point that was made by Luke Sequeira Flanders, we believe and we totally support efforts to treat substances also at the source so that they aren't in the materials that we're buying, they're not in the materials that we're disposing of, and therefore they're not in our landfill or our landfill leachate. And that idea of going upstream is going to have some data driven behind it. And this is what Vermont sought to do. They collected 100 samples from waste streams suspecting of containing PFAS compounds, including sludge from municipal wastewater treatment plants and other industrial sources, sewer grit, contaminated soils, textiles from bulky waste, carpeting, construction and demolition debris, et cetera. They also began the process of requiring that the state's landfill, which was Coventry, managed by Casella, implement a pilot system to treat leachate for PFAS. Now, Coventry has 1 year to implement a pilot system and 2 years to report on the results of that program back to the VANR. And then the Vermont Agency of Natural Resources will use that data to help create actions to manage PFAS and the best course of that action. Now, we've been exploring a couple of different technologies. We've been exploring reverse osmosis. We've been foam fractionalization and as well as carbon filtering. When you treat for PFAS, what you end up doing is you get a hyper-concentrated amount of PFAS in the discharge or in the residual from the treatment, which goes back into the landfill. So a lot of these processes basically keep the PFAS sequestered in the landfill, as we said, as a cycle to go back in and go back in. Ironically, that's going to raise over the course of time the levels of PFAS found in the leachate because we're putting concentrated PFAS back in the leachate. And so these technologies have their certain challenges. And while they're in their infancy and being studied, I think it's really important to note that we are nowhere near the capacity of being able to flip a switch on an existing technology to successfully treat PFAS. But Vermont ultimately decided on that pilot program simply because the technology needed to treat that leachate is largely untested. But as I said, those options that do exist require the landfill to continue to sequester that PFAS and capture it back in. So while our leachate is not discharged into the river directly, and we do know that it does have levels of PFAS, we don't know what the effluent has in it, as there are no standards and no testing for wastewater treatment plants discharge or the amount of PFAS therein required by the state. And so we would recommend that a standard be applied, testing be implemented, and a standard would be applied to wastewater treatment plants so that we can accurately pinpoint where the sources of PFAS are coming from and then act as a state holistically to address them. And the bigger the offenders, the more attention or priority the DEP would place on them. And that expanded universe of data is not artificially limited just by a couple of sources. And the department, you know, they're testing leachate in 1600. We need to allow that bill to collect those data. And our testing requirements should also consider all landfills, not just, you know, the ones that are land lined, but perhaps groundwater around many of the landfills, unlined landfills in Maine. Other states have sought to identify these levels and sources of PFAS. We've heard a lot about Michigan. We've heard a lot about Vermont. And they've used this data to base their data-based facts to set quality levels because they know where the problem is and they know the sources and they know the levels of PFAS contamination. So they're able to address them with more priority and more data-driven science to set parts per trillion levels as far as water quality standards go. So we should expand on that universe of data and follow Vermont's model and expand on the bill so that it is more holistic in an approach to PFAS. Because even though we are looking at the state-owned landfill right now, there are five licensed industrial discharge facilities upriver from the Penobscot Nation above Old Town. And we don't know what their effluent has in PFAS. And even if we treat the landfill leachate, we are not addressing the problem of PFAS being contaminating in our rivers and streams throughout the state in a holistic enough approach. It would be a drop in the bucket, and we need to do more. We need to do more. And Casella is here to try to help lead that with the research and the studies that we've been doing in Vermont and the technology that we're working on in pilot programs. And we'll be willing to share that information on a pilot study here at Juniper Ridge Landfill and share that with the DEP to move forward. Thank you. I'm open to any questions.
Thank you so much. Are there any questions from the committee for Shelby Wright? All right, not seeing any. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so very much for your time today, folks.